These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
It's Talking Twins time. Zolgad, Jake DePew, and executive producer Declan Goff. As always, we bring you just really first-class Twins conversation because this team is so exciting to talk about. They play through monsoons. They decide to bang games where there's no rain. All right, let's get to it. We are approximately, in fact, I believe tomorrow, Friday, or I'm sorry, 2 days from now, Friday, is 3 weeks from the Major League trade deadline, which is going to be at 3 p.m. Central Time on July 30th, which is a Friday. It's ordinarily on the 31st, but obviously that's a weekend. So, Jake, they have moved up the trade deadline. What does your gut tell you right now about, you know, beyond, you know, Simmons, I got to think, gets moved, right? Cruz, God love him, he's an all-star, gets moved. But when we get to the main players here who have been discussed extensively, and that includes Jose Berríos, what do your spidey senses tell you about what the Twins will do by the deadline?
My spidey senses tell me that they're going to trade a lot of guys who aren't on expiring contracts. I think they're going to trade Berríos. I don't think that would be the right move, but I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to trade Taylor Rogers. I don't think they'll trade Buxton because he's hurt. And I think that complicates things. And I think they're going to try to trade Donaldson. And there's been some steam on that from, I think it was Andy Martino, Mets reporter, who originally said that there were some preliminary talks. So I think they're going to basically blow it all up and go into rebuild mode. And that, I didn't have that opinion a couple of weeks ago, but I think that they really believe, and I said this last week, I think they really believe they can flip Berríos into a couple of guys that they can develop into Berríos's. Again, it's just totally fair to question, like, why do you believe that? Because they haven't developed anybody at the MLB level. Bailey Ober is maybe the first one that's starting to emerge a little bit. I think Berríos wants to go to free agency. That's not reporting. That's just my assumption. Yep. And I don't blame him. I mean, you know, guys work a long time to get to free agency, and maybe there's some things he's not happy about in Minnesota. Who knows? But if he does want to test free agency, then they should probably move him. You know, I mean, but it's punting on 2022, but there may not be a season in 2022. And so that plays into the equation as well. So I actually think it's going to be a super interesting trade-filled trade deadline for the Twins, which was not the case in 2019. As it should have been. When I remember the three of us and Phil were doing like a trade deadline special where we were on for like 2 hours and all they did was trade for Sergio Romo and Sam Dyson.
I think
it's going to be different this year. I think they're going to blow it up. What do you think? What's your sense?
I've given this a ton of thought because what you just said makes a lot of sense. And if Berríos is intent on becoming a free agent after 2022, which I think he probably is. I think he wants to break the bank on this next contract, and I don't blame him one bit. I don't know that the Twins are going to give him what he wants, which I think he's going to shoot for ace money, like a big time ace. He's not that, but he's a very good pitcher. But here's where I land right now, and this could change by next week. I don't think they have the guts to do it. I don't think they have the guts to trade Berríos. I really don't, because here's the thing. With what they've done, pitching-wise especially, I think internally, and this is very privately, so this is not outward, I think they have to be questioning themselves, or they certainly should be if they're smart. And trading Berríos is trading away what you consider to be, and I'll get to this in 1 second, but if you think there's going to be a 2022, it's trading away what, I don't want to say a sure thing because he's not that great, but he's damn good. And it's trading away a known commodity. That might be the best term. It's trading away a really known pitching commodity of which you have very few. And the more that you go out and try and fill in the backside of the rotation, the more it's evident that you really don't know what you're doing consistently. So what you just said, I like a lot, and I agree, but the more I think about this, that Trey Berríos would take Cojones to a degree of saying, we know what we're getting in, let's say, two guys back to replace him eventually, and I don't know that they would be that confident in themselves? Because pitching wise, I'll ask you a very simple question. What's really gone right? Like, what have they done where you're like, you know what, that was a really good pitching move? Now, I know that Derek Falvey was brought here for pitching purposes. I get all of that. But he's been here for a long time now. And I'm getting a little bit tired of, well, you don't understand, Judd, because the guys who are up and coming didn't get to play in the minor leagues in 2020. And so it all got stopped for a year and their progress was stopped. And I get that. Okay. But that doesn't preclude, that doesn't excuse how much you've seemingly sort of just whiffed on things. So I'm going to say, while they definitely have the guts to make trades in a situation where they're dumping, I'm going to call their bluff and say they don't have the guts to trade the one pitcher that they've got. And Maeda potentially, but he's been really up and down this year, and he was great last time out. But Barrios is the one sure thing I see. I don't know that they can pull the trigger on that trade.
But that would be an admission, as you just said, that would be an admission that they don't really feel confident in themselves anymore, I think, if they don't trade him for the reasons that you're saying. While I would tend to agree that they shouldn't feel confident in themselves anymore in terms of developing pitching, because they haven't developed any. Again, Bailey Ober looks good. And then they've got all these guys at AAA who seem promising, but we've seen that before. We heard about Steven Gonsalves and Fernando Romero for years, right? And then they never were able to develop those guys at the big league level.
Right.
And there have been others as well. But I still think that they have hubris that they can develop pitching better than the next team can. And I think that's why they're going to move Barrios and get arms. But if they don't trade him, and they would never say this publicly, so we wouldn't know, but if they don't trade him and the reason is that they think, that they just can't do this as well as they thought they could, then, you know, we need to start having other conversations, because if they can't develop pitching, then what are we even doing here? They were brought in to develop pitching, and, you know, I'm willing to give them one more year, because I want to see this next crop of Winder and Belzovic and Duran,
yes,
and Canarino.
Yes.
I want to see if they can turn a couple of those guys in into legit big league starters. But I'm with you. Like, I don't get where all of this, like, you don't understand. They've been so great. Like, they haven't been great at developing starter pitching. They've been very good at other things. They produced 2019 and 2020. Those were very good teams. But, like, there's nothing to show. I mean, there's just no, I mean, like, again, Bailey Ober's made like five starts. He looks pretty good. Other than that, there's just no evidence to point to that they can successfully develop MLB starters. So, like, where's that coming from? You know, like, I'm genuinely asking, like, what's the argument in defense of them developing starting pitching or even bullpen arms? Because, you know, they developed Taylor Rogers pretty well, I guess, and Duffy. But generally, it's not there. Like, what would the counter argument be? Like, what are people saying to you? Like, you said, Judd, they don't understand. You know, you don't understand.
Well, a lot of the argument is the young arms that are supposed to come up in 2022 might have come up in 2021, but those guys all lost a year because they couldn't play. And if, you know, they didn't get sent to the alternate site, then they didn't pitch at all, or they had to pitch on the side in their backyard or something like that. That's the argument. My argument back is, yeah, but look at what they have done that we're seeing. Like, I mean, they signed Jay Happ. They signed the Shoe. These guys were awful. They absolutely awful. So in the last 2 years, just as far as filling in the rotation, they have signed Shoemaker, Happ, Hill, who was great this year in Tampa, and Homer Bailey. Okay. 75% of those guys are no good. And Hill was hurt here. And you couldn't be surprised, because he gets hurt a lot. So, like, my point is, what have you shown me yet that you can identify guys? And Barrios is not yours. You were gifted him. So I get tired of this automatic defense of, well, you should wait on this, you should wait on that. That's very old school Twins. Like, we heard that with Terry Ryan. And I understand every prospect is not going to develop, but Derek Falvey was brought here for a specific purpose because of Cleveland's pitching pipeline. And I've always said this too. The danger, and look, this is a danger any team takes that hires a guy who's part of a successful operation, is what role did he really play? And does he, so Jake, I talked about this with Phil, and I think that you probably agree, but here's the bigger problem too. And here's the question, just an overall question about Falvey, Levine to a certain degree, although I don't know how much of a say he has, and Rocco for sure. New school-wise, these guys are very into analytics, and they're very into where the game is going, and I get all that. But how much, and I'm not being get-off-my-lawn guy, how much pure baseball sense do they have? Because it's a combination. That's the sweet spot, the combination. And when I look at how Rocco manages games, and I'm talking little decisions that end up being big, when I look at how Falvey makes roster moves and they decide who's going to go, your guy Lamont Wade, who would have been a nice player on this team, maybe not a huge crucial piece, but a nice player, and instead traded for a guy who was DFA'd and picked up by Texas. I trust that they know baseball well enough to be in the roles that they're in. I'm not saying I know more. I'm saying there's enough concerning things that you see after the fact where you're like, whoa, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I try to look at these things as objectively as I can, right? And when you look at the moves they've made, the people they've let go, who they've brought on, some of it maybe was out of their control, but a lot of these things have just not worked out at all. You know, I mean, they, like you said, they've let go Wade and Badu, and we've talked about all these guys they've let go. They've brought in a whole pitching staff this year that's been atrocious, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's more to being a GM than just, you know, free agency. And but like, again, they haven't developed the starting pitching. Like, there's a lot that they haven't done that I think you need to check those boxes in order to be considered a top tier front office, which I considered them that for a long time. And I was willing to be patient with developing the pitching. And I get the COVID argument that set things back, but still, like, I don't know, man. I don't really see a lot of evidence anymore that these guys have really built something, you know, like there's no there anymore. Like, there's nobody, like, there are some prospects that are coming, I guess, but like, they shouldn't be in this spot. They were supposed to be World Series contenders. Now, as far as your thing about analytics, I agree with that. And that's what's so weird to me about Rocco, because Rocco is super high emotional IQ, in my opinion. Like, you watch, you know, he did a presser a couple of weeks ago where he was talking about Mike Bell, and talking about, it was right after Buxton got injured.
Yep.
And I think that was the same night they did the tribute to Mike Bell.
Yep.
I was like, man, this guy is off the charts in terms of understanding people and tapping into personalities and just knowing how to, you would think, knowing how to manage a clubhouse. But then you look at the moves he makes at times, and I do think it's a little too analytics heavy, you know, to your point. And I'm a big analytics guy, but there's a human element to this game. Humans play this game. And I think the Twins ignore that too much.
That's exactly,
I really
right.
do.
Yes. And I also think, though, that I've seen some very dumb human beings be sports brilliant. Like, they couldn't pass a test to save their life, but put them on a field or an ice surface or court, and they make the right decision almost every time. And they have a sports IQ that's very, very large. Rocco, when you look, and I feel like now the playoff games were warning shots of this, Jake, but we've now seen it come to fruition as things have gone wrong. Rocco in game doesn't really seem to know. And I'm not saying that I do at the moment, but it becomes crystal clear afterward. But I'm also not paid a ton to be in charge of the Twins. Rocco in game doesn't seem to have a feel for the moves that would make a difference. And they might be very small. But I mean, last night I texted you, Miguel Sano on first base, 2-1 game, Twins are down in the seventh. Keeping Miguel Sano in that game makes no sense. He's not good enough to justify it. He's slow. He ultimately ends up making a dumb play on the base paths. And meanwhile, Nick Gordon is in the dugout. Now, I thought of that as it was unfolding. So I'm not saying that I knew exactly what to do myself, but I'm not paid to know that. Rocco is. But what's the upside? And the moves would have been simple. They would have been simple. Kirilloff goes to first, basically, and Gordon is shuffled into the game in center. So it's not like the move was, well, you can't do that. No, you actually could. And that gives you a chance to make it 2-2 because Nick Gordon's incredibly fast and fun to watch play baseball. So these are the type of moves, though. I mean, I know it's small in the context of things, and I know that the Twins season is a lost cause. I get all of that. But you know what? Tom Kelly puts Nick Gordon in. Paul Molitor puts Nick Gordon in. Like, you got to have that, and that has nothing to do, I don't think, with analytics. It's a feel for where for game flow, yes. But like, where is that move? Because that's the type of move I need. And I'm not trying to say I'm dismissing the new school stuff, because I'm not. But you got to have a feel for the game as well as what the numbers tell you that you should do.
Yeah, and there's certainly been a lot of moves like that. I think if you follow any Major League Baseball team closely enough, you can pick apart moves that the manager has or hasn't made. Mm-hmm. And certainly some are better than others. But obviously we've talked a ton on this podcast about in-game moves that Rocco's made that haven't worked out. But what I look at more than even some of that stuff is something like pulling Bailey Ober a couple weeks ago after four innings and like 60 pitches when he was in line to get his first Major League win.
Yeah.
Wins don't matter to us. They certainly don't matter to the Twins, pitcher wins to the front office. But they, you know who they matter to a lot? Bailey Ober. I'm pretty sure Bailey Ober would have been pretty pumped to get his first Major League win. And to pull him in a meaningless game when you're totally out of contention after four really good innings, because I think Rocco said there were a couple lefties due up, you know, or at third time through the order, those types of things. That's like, those are the types of moves where it's like, what? Why would you do that to this kid? Like, all you're going to do is, impart on him very early this idea that we don't care about you as a person. We're just making every move based on the book, and that's just how it's going to be. You know, like, sorry, kid. Well, you know, welcome to the big league. Like, just let him pitch that fifth inning and get that first Major League win. Like, those are the types of moves I don't understand. I really, and there have been others along those same lines where it's like, you know, maybe the analytics tell you one thing, but the human component would tell you another. The game doesn't matter. So just, you know, do something that would make the player happy, you know? I think they have been too analytics heavy, and it's weird for me to say that because I'm a big analytics guy. But like 2018, that clubhouse did not gel at all, and I kind of thought they learned their lesson about bringing in, personalities that maybe clashed with a lot of people in the clubhouse. But again, we don't have access this year, but that clubhouse to me, I've got to think is having some serious issues. Which brings me to my point about Josh Donaldson. And I don't think he's the problem at all. Mm-hmm. And I would not trade Josh Donaldson. But, you know, I was reading an article about him in SI by Stephanie Epstein. And she was talking about how, I think she said, Falvey read a book about how it makes sense for like corporations or businesses to bring people in that aren't in line with their overall kind of mantra or their personality type. And that's part of the reason they wanted to sign Donaldson, because the Twins are like too nice, right? And they wanted kind of that type A, you know, super high strung guy to motivate people. And that makes a lot of sense to me. But now it seems like if they really are looking to move him, it seems like maybe that's, it's just too much for them, that they just can't handle that type of personality. And that's really disappointing to me. No. You know, it's really, because he's producing and he's so different from their philosophy. So why would you move that guy? Why would you look to move him? And eat money. Like if he's not producing, it's different. But like, you just can't handle his personality. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but it's weird to me.
I think the injuries are a big problem too, because he's all, and this is now going to be, and again, they're at fault for that. Like, I had no idea, but when he tweeted after he got the National League Comeback Player of the Year award early in 2020 here, and then proceeded to get hurt, he had tweeted, you know, this award's great, and basically said, I have gone through like seven 7 calf tears in the past, what, Dex, 2 years or something like that. And look, it's not my job to know that. It's your job. And so I wonder if they're at the breaking point there as well. I did check on what you said with a person that would know far more than I would about the dynamic of the clubhouse. And I said, what's the Donaldson like? Is there friction there? Because he's definitely a different cat. Is there, you know, problems with Rocco there? And I was told Rocco, actually, it's fine with him. And that for the most part, he's dismissed by his teammates as just this really intense ranting dude at times. So it might not even be a chemistry problem there. There's just something off with this team, which I think goes back, Jake, as well, to 2019, which is, you know, that was the perfect storm of Cruz came in and there seemed to be a real harmony and a closeness of that clubhouse. And Rocco didn't have to do a thing. Like if Rosario dogged it, which he did, right? At times he'd hit a ball off the wall and trot and get thrown on second base. Someone else would talk to him. Rocco didn't worry about it. He wouldn't bench him. And I think in 2019, that worked just fine. It's not working now. And that's what I guess my question is, and it sounds weird to say because I praised him at one time and he deserved it back then. But what's Rocco bringing now? Like in a season of almost nothing but crisis. And my other question is, in retrospect, just from a coaching standpoint, how important were Derek Shelton, who was his bench coach here and then got the Pirates job, and Mike Bell, who tragically passed away last winter, how important were they to in-game adjustments and changes? Because Rocco certainly seems lost there to a point of it being odd. Like, you don't forget what you know. So did he go into 2019 and 20 just not knowing as much and the bench coaches helped him cover it up? I don't know. But I think there's a definite question there as well.
Enjoy a weed-free summer at the lake, courtesy of Aquaside. One easy application of Aquaside pellets can eliminate weeds and lake muck. Aquaside has been trusted by hundreds of thousands of lake homeowners since 1960. Neglecting aquatic weeds can hamper recreational activities like swimming and boating. Lake weeds can also provide breeding habitats for insects. Make your lake shore beautiful this summer with Aquaside. Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, as far as in-game strategy, right, those bench guys, I think, probably helped a lot. I also think James Rowson was a big factor with the hitters, maybe not as much with in-game moves. But, I don't know. I don't know. I guess you can characterize this as a one-off, as a fluky year with COVID and all of these things. And obviously the passing of Mike Bell, I'm sure, affected everyone. But I do think... I think Rocco has made a lot of mistakes this year. I really do. Like just in-game mistakes, you know? And I think that a lot of those were first guesses, the Brandon Waddell types of moves, you know, bringing in Brandon Waddell in the 10th. And so I do think he brings a lot to the table from an emotional IQ perspective, but that's not enough if you're messing things up constantly on the field. And I'm not saying they should fire Rocco, but I think he's had a really bad year. And I think maybe he's been a little overwhelmed or got a little overwhelmed at all of the stuff that happened at the very beginning of the season. Dex, what do you think? What are your Rocco takes? Oh, sorry, you're eating.
You're good. I don't know. I'm kind of starting to lean. I'm out on him in general. I don't think he's... I liked his calm, laid-back nature to start. I thought that was a good thing for this club. I thought it was a little more refreshing than just like tight old manager baseball guy. Like I thought his approach and his laid-back style and lifestyle in general would be a good thing for that clubhouse. But in general, I just don't think it vibes well with the Donaldson-led clubhouse. And I'd rather have a type A kind of guy on this team now than a passive, laid back, everything's cool, take a nap before the game, take your time not getting to BP. I think there has to be the happy medium, and I think he's more of a puppet master from the top organization down. I think honestly, I think he knows baseball. That's clear. He's obviously he's credible to be a manager. I don't think that he's in and out of his shoes necessarily, but I just don't think it works right here with this current Twins team.
But the problem that goes to the top there is if he's the puppet master, the people who are pulling the strings are doing a terrible job too. So like that, that's the problem is this thing, there's an off chance that this thing is rotten from the head on down, and picking on Rocco isn't really the fair thing because, I mean, look, nobody knew baseball like Molitor did. That guy knew, and I'm not saying he didn't have his problems because I'm sure he did, but if you're talking about a guy that could tell you what happened with two outs in the third, who came up and did what on what count, Paul could. Situationally, he is a genius. And so these guys clearly were trying to move on and moved on to their guy. But if they're controlling the strings, that basically means you have three guys that don't necessarily know what they're doing at this level. That's concerning.
Yeah, it's funny just to piggyback off Dex's comments. Like, I loved the Rocco signing initially because they needed somebody who could connect to millennials. I mean, they basically said that, and Rocco clearly can.
That's true.
And, you know, Rocco is somebody that I would love to get a beer with or hang out in some other way with, you know, and I've talked about that on the podcast. Like, I like him as a guy a lot, you know, and like Donaldson and I, not that anybody cares, but, you know, we're very different personalities. But in sports, like, aggressiveness, I think, generally wins. And there are certainly a lot of caveats to that, and you could pick that apart. But I think in general, mm-hmm. aggressiveness is the way to go. And Donaldson's a very type A aggressive guy. He gets in people's faces and he demands success. And I'm not saying Rocco doesn't do that, but I think he's so laid back that I think while it's great from a personality perspective, I'm not sure it jives with being a Major League Baseball manager. I think you might need somebody who's a little more in your face and accountability, you know, like David Ross, who's manager of the Cubs are struggling right now, but like he's seen as a very new school, you know, connects with millennials. Cause he just was playing a couple of years ago.
Right.
He benches guys he just benched Javi Baez when he forgot how many outs there were. He benched guys in the past.
Schwarber last year. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Schwarber. Yeah. So like, you know, I think those things, they send a message that, that there is accountability. And Rocco, I don't think has ever benched anybody ever for a mental mistake.
No, he doesn't want to.
You know, Andrelton Simmons last night in that game, he made a couple of nice defensive plays. He was also really checked out on a couple of plays, you know, where it just seemed like he wasn't even really paying attention.
The bad
like,
throw from Jeffers, he literally allowed to hit his leg and go into center field and looked at it like, whatever.
That was a very bizarre play. It was very bizarre. Like, what are you doing? Like, you need to catch, like, so what? It's ball four. The runner can still advance. You need to catch that throw.
Yes.
Like, that's something that I feel like David Ross and other managers would bench a guy for. And when you don't do that, I think it sends a message throughout the team that not being accountable or being checked out at times is okay. You know, and again, you can look at Simmons, you can look at other guys, Rosario at times, like you said, didn't run balls out and had to settle for singles. And there hasn't been accountability for those types of mistakes under Rocco.
No. But this goes back to Rosario. Cause I asked him once flat out. I'm like, are you going to do something when guys, you know, basically fall asleep? And he's like, you know, they get the message. And he was just convinced. And in 2019, that worked perfectly. I don't know that you need somebody who can turn over the spread, but I do think that there has to be accountability, and there's not. And it shouldn't be considered a small miracle that they've gone to a platoon with Sano, which I applaud them for. But I mean, to me, that was an easy move. Kirilloff should play. You know, Nick Gordon should play more. Like, I don't understand. Sometimes I don't get what they're doing game to game right now. Your season's over. Just play guys. Play Nick Gordon. Bench Simmons. I don't give a crap. Trade him. I trade him right now. I trade him today for something. I mean, veteran shortstops now are being moved, right? So trade him. Move Polanco, as I keep saying. Get Gordon at second. Gordon can play. You know what? He's not bad in center field. He's turned into a pretty good player out there. He's good athletically. So it's just an overall organizational philosophy that I don't understand where they're coming from. And they don't even seem right now to have a good idea, because there's some games where they're totally checked in and it's like, we got to win. It's like, okay, cool. And then last night it's the bullpen's depleted. Let's bring in Colome after Barrios had looked so good. And it's Colome. Why is he even still here?
Well, and that gets to your point about Shoemaker. You know, you were saying a few weeks ago, like, why, you know, when Shoemaker walks past you on the plane, you know, with an ADRA or whatever, that also kind of sends a message.
Yes.
Like, you know, and I know they eventually DFA'd him. But like, yeah, well, I don't understand why Colomé is still getting innings or on the roster. I guess they're still hoping that he'll put string together 6 or 7 appearances in a row and trade him for something. But to me, that's just a sunk cost.
Exactly.
And you just have to eat it. The same with Hap at this point. Like, I think they were hoping that with Hap, but that's not going to happen either. So like, bring the young kids up, like you said, the Nick Gordon types, and let's see what they got. Well, they're still.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh no. And start claiming guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can claim guys, throw them in your bullpen. Who gives it? You know, find out. Colomé's gone. It's not, it didn't work. It blew up, you know, claim guys. In 19, they claim guys, as I recall, left and right. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's just confusing. Confusing and frustrating.
It feels to me sometimes like the organization is just a little too passive and too nice. You know, like Derek Falvey, he seems like a really nice guy. The few times I've interviewed him, he's been really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Rocco seems like a great guy, and that's all great. But like, that doesn't win you baseball games. You know, like, there has to be a little bit of kind of a-hole. You know, a kind of a ruthless, aggressive mentality. And I think that's why they brought in a guy like Donaldson, and I'm disappointed to see that they're trying to move him like that. I get the injuries are a concern. I get Jose Miranda is coming and you have to find a spot for him. But I just think whether it's Donaldson or somebody else, they need more of those types of personalities in there. That, in my view.
All right, Jake DePue, thank you. We will talk to you next Monday again, as we return to our ordinary Talking Twins schedule.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you.